We're turning in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading from verse 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious, infallible word. We have in these verses the story of a birth, the birth of the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every birth of a living child is a marvelous event. It brings into being a soul that will never die. But never since the world began was a birth so marvelous as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In itself, it was a miracle. God was manifest in the flesh. The blessings of this birth brought into the world an unspeakable prize, and opened to sinful man the door to everlasting life. In reading these verses, the first thing we notice is the time when Christ was born. This timing was perfect, and it was according to Scripture, and it was accurate. It was, we're told, in the days when Augustus, the first Roman emperor, made a decree that all the world should be taxed. The wisdom of God appears here in this simple fact. The scepter was practically departing from Judah. Way back in Genesis 49 and verse 10, we have in that chapter 49 of Genesis, Jacob blessing his sons. And when he came to Judah, he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And throughout Judah's entire history, up until now, the lawgiver did not depart from Judah, and the scepter of power did not depart. But now that power is departing from Judah. Now another foreign power is taking over, and Judah is no longer an independent, powerful nation. Judah is losing the scepter. They had no longer a really independent government of their own. The due time which the Bible speaks of had come for the promised Messiah to appear. The right time had come. The proper time. The timing of this event was perfect according to Scripture. Augustus' tax of the world had come, and that was the time of Christ's birth. It was a time particularly suitable for the introduction of Christ's gospel. The whole civilized earth was at last governed by one master, and there was nothing to prevent a preacher of the gospel going from city to city and from country to country, spreading the good news that Christ has come, that the gospel is here, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The princes and the priests of the heathen had been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. We think of Egypt and Assyria. We think of Babylon and Persia, Greece and Rome. They all had their successive periods of power. But the world, by wisdom, knew not God. The only way of knowing God is through Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. And by knowing Christ, we know the Father. And by coming to Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we have hope of everlasting life. Thank God for the word of God today, and the message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In due time, he was born of the Virgin. In due time, he was made under the law. In due time, he died for the ungodly, and rose again, and is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto him. Let us ever rest our souls contentedly on this thought, that times are in God's hand. Even our times are in God's hand. He knows the best season for sending help for his church. And God knows his church needs help. And God knows the best time for sending that help. God knows that as individuals we need help. And God knows the best time to send to you the help that you need. He knows the way you take. He understands your way. And the Lord, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, is able to provide the answer to all of our needs today. Let us beware of giving way to over-anxiety. Let us not do that. Let us not be over-anxious about the course of events in this world, about the way things are going, and the wickedness of man, and the destruction of nations. Let us not be over-anxious, knowing that God's timings are perfect. The timing of Christ's coming was planned, and it's perfect. And the timing of events in this world thereafter are perfect, all working out according to his great eternal plan. And you and I, as an individual believer, rest ourselves and content ourselves in the knowledge that our times are in the hand of the Almighty God. Let us be aware of that every moment of every day. Let us trust ourselves to God to keep us and to preserve us each day of our lives. Not only do we notice the timing of the Saviour's birth, it was a perfect timing according to a divine plan, but we notice the place of his birth, where he was born. It was not at Nazareth in Galilee, where his mother, the Virgin Mary, lived, but like the prophet Micah, who had foretold this event, it took place in Bethlehem. In the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall come forth he that is to be the Redeemer of Israel." Out of thee, Bethlehem, shall come forth he that is to be the Saviour of Israel. The place was Bethlehem, prophesied in Scripture. God again working to a plan, keeping his word, and his word cannot fail. We see the overriding providence of God here, even in this simple fact. He orders all things in heaven and in earth. He turns the hearts of kings, even whithersoever he will. He overruled the time when Augustus decreed the taxing of the world. He directed the enforcement of the decree in such a way that Mary must be in Bethlehem when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Little did the haughty Roman emperor and his officer Cyrenius think that they were only instruments in the hand of the Almighty God of Israel. They were only carrying out the eternal purpose of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Little did they think that they were helping to lay the foundation of a spiritual kingdom. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Before which kingdom the empires of the world shall fall, and men shall bend the knee and bow before the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing their sins and humbly repenting and entering into the kingdom of the Lord. The words of Isaiah upon a like occasion should be remembered at this time. He meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so. Speaking of one of the rulers of Judah long ago. He meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so. The same with Augustus and Cyrenius. They didn't mean what the Lord meant. They didn't think as the Lord thought. And God was overruling even the heart of the king and the mind and his thinking. And God was working out his great plan in relation to the place where Christ should be born. Every heart here today, every believer in Christ, should take comfort in the recollection of God's providential government in the world. And we should take heart furthermore in recalling God's providential dealings in our own lives over this past year and in recent days. Thank God for the providences and the guidance and the help that he has been to us. A true Christian should never be greatly moved or disquieted by the conduct of the rulers of this world. They may be wicked, they may do desperate things, they may be cruel to mankind, and we might lament all the happenings that we see going on in the world today. But let's remember this, that far away and beyond and above everything, there's a God in heaven who is in control. And again, I remind you that our times are in his hand. We rest there. We find peace there. We find contentment resting in the God of heaven. And when the rulers of the world set themselves against our Lord and his Christ, and against his church, let us take comfort from the words of Solomon in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 8. There be higher than they, and there's one who's higher than all of these. It's the Lord, in whose hand I dwell. He holds me in the palm of his hand. It's good to know that today. We see here the grace and the condescension of Christ. Had he come to save mankind with royal majesty, surrounded by his father's angels, that would have appeared to us to have been undeserved mercy. Had he chosen to dwell in a palace with great power and authority, we would have reason to rejoice. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come surrounded by royal majesty, nor to be born in a palace. The Lord Jesus became poor as the very poorest of mankind. He was the lowliest of the low. And we're told that as a love that passeth all understanding, he lowered himself and humbled himself to be born into a manger. That was his crib. Never let us forget that though this humiliation, Christ has purchased for us a title to glory. Through his humbling of himself, he has purchased for you and me a home in glory land. Through his life of suffering, as well as his death upon the cross, he has obtained eternal redemption for all those who will trust in him and for all who will come to him. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Thank God for the humbling of the Lord Jesus Christ in his birth at Bethlehem. We notice also the tidings of his birth. What tidings are these? There never was a message like this spoken before. We read in these verses how the birth of the Lord Jesus was first announced to the children of men. The birth of a king's son is generally made an occasion of public rejoicing. And sometimes in some nations it is announced as a public holiday, and there are great celebrations. But the announcement of the birth of the Prince of Peace was made privately at midnight, during the darkness, and without anything of worldly pomp or worldly ceremony. And when we think who the men were that the tidings first came that Christ was born, we think of them as shepherds. Shepherds abiding in the fields near Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Two shepherds, not to priests or rulers, but to shepherds, humble men, not to scribes or Pharisees, proud religious men, but the angel appeared to shepherds, saying and proclaiming, unto you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The saying of James in James chapter 2 verse 5 is worth reminding ourselves of. It says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world with an announcement to the shepherds. Unto you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Notice the language that was used by the angel in verse 10. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We don't need to wonder at these words. The spiritual darkness which had covered the earth for thousands of years was about to be rolled away, because light had come into the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the way to pardon, the way to peace with God has been opened to mankind. The head of Satan is about to be bruised. Liberty is going to be proclaimed to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. The mighty truth was about to be proclaimed that God is just and the justifier of all those who believe in Christ. What a gospel, what truth. Salvation is no longer being seen through types and figures, but openly, face to face, in the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God was no longer to be confined to the Jews, but thank God, the message of the gospel is offered to the entire world, and whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. The Bible tells us, yes, he came unto his own, but his own received him not, but to as many, Jew or Gentile, as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Oh, thank God for these good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, to the ends of the earth. Jesus said before he went back to heaven, following his resurrection, instructing his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And praise God, this gospel is to every creature. And whosoever believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the difference. And it matters whether you believe today or not. If you believe, you're saved. If you do not believe, you're damned. You'll be lost forevermore. So therefore, come to this light. Come to Christ, the one who was manifest in the flesh. You'll notice that these words of Luke chapter 2 are full of deep spiritual lessons. It shows us that in regard to the shepherds, that they were obedient to the voice of heaven. Because they arose instantly and they went into Bethlehem to see what God had promised. And when they arrived, they found the babe lying in the manger. And they were privileged to behold him and to see the Son of God who came into the world to save sinners. We don't behold the Lord Jesus Christ in a manger today. We don't behold a crib or any such thing. It is no place in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But we behold the person of Christ. We behold the man of Calvary. We behold the Son of God who became the Son of Man, taking it to himself two natures, uniting them perfectly, and becoming the God-man, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, and suffering the punishment and the guilt of our sins. We look to him today, and we trust in him, because there is no other way of salvation for a lost world. You and I are born in sin, we're lost. And until Jesus finds us, we continue to be lost. And if we continue in our sin, we'll be lost forever. Therefore, as the gospel says, come unto me. Jesus promised, I will give you rest. Lay down your weary head upon his breast. Trust in his finished work. Trust in his redeeming grace, because we're told that he is full of grace and truth. Grace is something unmerited by us. It's the grace of God. And we read over and over again in Scripture that so and so found grace in the eyes of God. May you find grace in God's eyes. Jesus Christ came to reveal that grace and to reveal truth. He said, I am the truth. He is truth. He has spoken the truth. He has told the truth. And when he laid down his life upon the cross of Calvary, a ransom for many, he was doing it as the truth, the way, and the life. May we all today recognize the meaning of the birth of Christ. May we know something of its great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, but through his Son giving us forgiveness of sin. Have you forgiveness today? Then trust the Lord Jesus, the one who came to save. Lean upon him. Follow him all the days of your life, and let his peace rule in your heart, and let the comfort of his grace solace your soul, and let his power be the bulwark of your heart.
strengthening you against the world and the flesh and the devil. May God be merciful to all of us today, and may we know his love in our hearts and his saving grace by experience in our lives. Bless thy word to our hearts, and part us with thy blessing, and go with us and abide with us. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.